Hey, Shelby Abbott here. I just wanted to check in. If you're still searching for a meaningful gift as Christmas approaches, Family Life's 50% off Weekend to Remember gift cards are still available, but only until Monday. So honestly, it's such a great way to hit pause, reconnect with your spouse, and focus on your marriage. Or if you know a couple who could use some time away, this is the perfect gift. So head on over to familylifetoday.com and click on the Black Friday sale because Monday is actually the last day that our deals will be available. All right, now let's get into the program.
We had this one little girl send us a note, and her mom actually was honest enough to share it with us. And she just basically said, well, whatever you're planning to do with this Generous Kids Book Club's working, because my daughter told me that I was not acting like Polly the Parrot and being generous with words. In fact, she overheard me on the phone, and mom, you know, you're not being generous with your words.
Welcome to Family Life Today, where we want to help you pursue the relationships that matter most. I'm Shelby Abbott, and your hosts are Dave and Ann Wilson. You can find us at familylifetoday.com.
This is Family Life Today. Okay, so today we're talking about a topic that is, I think, transforming for families.
I do too. And it's a secret that not every family knows.
So, Brad, again, we had you on here yesterday, but your ministry is called
I Like Giving.
This is your life. It isn't just the forms of a family, it is you are training people. How is this transforming?
Well, I think what's so cool is Jesus gave us this model of telling stories, and he was using stories to message and to not hit people so hard over the head that they would just run away, but he was pulling them in to have ears to understand it. And I think what I found was that in God's word, there's so many places where, like, for example, he says, I love a cheerful giver. Mm-hmm. So I'm not a theologian, but I thought, the clue phone's ringing. I mean, if he loves a cheerful giver, then that might lead me to believe he loves me, but he's probably not into me being a grumpy giver or a no giver. And I've been all three.
Yeah.
So just sitting here in the humble chair, I mean, I've been all three. By the way, when I turned into a no giver, I had gotten burned on some giving opportunity. And so I'm done. I'm taking my toys home. I'm not giving anymore. Mm. And so after about 30 days, I was like, I kept looking around. Where's the joy in my life? Mm. Gone.
Really? Mm.
So then I realized, well, that's not really going to work. So I got to learn forgiveness and realize that now every time I give, it might not be perfect, but I know I'm more like Jesus when I give than when I hold back.
Let me ask you this, Brad. Are we all as believers called to be givers, not just our tithe? Do you think, as you study the Bible, as you've done this ministry for how many years?
Yeah, since 2010, nonprofit I Like Giving started. Yeah. You know, I can't help but look inside of God's word all over the place. He's talking about generosity all the time. For God so loved the world that he gave, right? With this, be a cheerful giver, give and it shall be given. So I definitely think there's enough in there to support. And then there's the whole other side of, here's what's so fun. When you give, you get joy, you get oxytocin, dopamine, all that stuff today. You get better relationships, you live longer. And then bonus, he says, hey, by the way, when you lay up for yourself treasure in heaven, you know, that's waiting for you too. So it's a pretty good deal.
Let's talk about why we don't. I mean, if that's true, and I'm sure we're all, you know, it's like when I'm up there preaching and people are going amen, and you're thinking, are they going to go live this, or they just amen in the words? Everything you just said is proven scientifically. Your brain, oxytocin, all that stuff.
Yeah.
I was looking at one of your quotes in the book is The Surprising Truth About What Motivates Us by Daniel Pink. And he just said, they've figured out that when you live a life of generosity and giving, you are happier than if it's all about storing up for yourself. But most of us don't. So what's the struggle when we know that's true, but it's so hard to do?
Well, I love this response. My mom's a Family Life listener, so she always gets nervous.
Hey, wait, you're not?
I'm gonna cover it by saying, you know, I'm gonna talk about a few four-letter words, and that's where mom starts to get nervous if she's driving down the road. There's a bunch of them related to your question. Fear, busy, debt. Right. We could just kind of go through the list of some things in the natural that come at us. I just know our kids are observing things. They're going to see you and they're going to model. So we're all modeling something. And boy, when we model something wrong, that's okay, because then it gives us a chance to show them how we blew it.
Yeah. Talk about, you know, you mentioned the word fear. I know for me, and we give generously, but when I'm afraid to give more than I think, it's fear that holds me back. So how do you deal with the fear?
I love the line start to start. I mean, I think you have to go into your heart and your soul and say, where am I today with my relationship with Jesus? And do I trust him? Do I trust that everything I have is from him and it's his anyway? And this is like a muscle, right? It's like you go the workout kind of thing. But yet this is why the GenerousKidsBookClub.com got started. Millions of dollars poured into this by the Search Institute that shows when kids are 8, 10, 12 years old, they move from concrete to abstract thinking in their minds. What's so significant about this is that's where you are first establishing your morals, your values, and your worldview. I might add biblical worldview. Well, what an idea for all of us as believers to say, for heaven's sakes, for our kids' sake, for Pete's sake, whatever, we got to teach these kids it's not all about them. Let's use scripture to show them how they can live generously daily, weekly, monthly. Through those seven ways that we talked about, being generous with your time and your attention and your influence and your sharing your belongings, even if it's just a pink pencil. I mean, you do something to share. Or what about your thoughts? And of course, money is a part of that. But so often over the years, I would just hear, oh, I don't have enough. And it would always indirectly go back to money. And I'm like, no, not so fast. The second book I wrote with my son is Everyday Generosity, because that's really kind of what we're talking about. So I kept getting this feeling like we need to have stories that connect scripture and bring kids. So we created a theme around animals. And it was designed to say, we're going to create these stories and scenes that bring real life to these kids to have a parent super easy, like 101 teaching the generous life. So our first book at the Generous Kids Book Club, Jasper G and the Me Thinking Madness. And it's all about a grandpa and grandson giraffe. In fact, our team later told me they kind of modeled this over like to me and my grandpa from that story. But the story goes on to talk about how poor Jasper G, he thinks he's the king of the world, you know, but he can't figure out how he can't have anybody be his friend. He's like, I'm the best. I want this. And he can't get anybody to be his friend at this event that they're at, the fair. And then there's the moment. And I'll just read you this one excerpt. Jasper G was left alone with his Grandpa G while all the other kids ran, threw their eggs, laughed with glee. Jasper said, they don't like me. They all stay away. Grandpa G understood and explained it this way. Do you think there's a chance that your heart's grown small from some endless me thinking, not sharing it all? There's a generous way that God gave us to live. Being generous is choosing to share and to give. And so there's this moment where we're teaching, do you want to be a me thinker or do you want to be a big-hearted giver? And as the story goes on, Jasper begins to give and share and show he cares, and he becomes the first generosity giraffe. And so we kind of...
Sounds like the Grinch that stole Christmas.
There's a little bit of that rhyme to it. So we here's the seven ways of living generously. Give, share, and show you care. So generous thoughts. Use a thought in my mind to think something kind. Generous words, use what I say to make someone's day. Generous money, use my money. No matter how much, if there is a life I can touch. Generous time, use any moment in my day to put generosity on display. Generous influence, use the choices that I make to affect the actions other people take. Generous attention, use my eyes to look, ears to hear, listen well, and distractions disappear. And generous belongings, use what I have to share. I can do this anywhere. And so as the book finishes out, we have in the back, talk about it. Imagine a grandparent or a parent saying, do you want to be a me thinker or do you want to be a big-hearted giver? And then how about the giving challenge? The me last, you first challenge. Picture that one getting into the car, right? And then always the scripture to say, what supports this, right? God loves a cheerful giver. So every month there's a new book.
And this can be a subscription.
Yeah, it is a subscription.
That a parent can get for your kids or grandparents. What a great gift idea, even at Christmas time, to give your kids and your grandkids.
Yeah, we're really trying to walk kids through this journey of the seven ways and then beyond. You were saying earlier, like, how do you deal with fear? I think it's gratitude.
Oh, for sure. I think it's a gift God gives us that we can choose to be grateful or ungrateful. And often we're ungrateful because we're seeing what somebody else has, or even our neighbor, car, possessions, whatever. I wish I, instead of going look at what, like you said, be grateful for what I do have, not what I don't have.
I went through it the other night. I was in bed. I was worrying about something, which is fear. And as a result, I started going through that list. And then I felt prompted, probably by the Holy Spirit. I got out my phone. It was beside my bed. And I went to the notepad. And I typed in all the things and all the ways God had provided, all the good things God had given, all the ways that God had shown his faithfulness. All the fear, the worry, the anxiety was gone when I saw God's provision, God's timing, God's faithfulness. And it's little blessings like, look at this house. Like, we're sleeping in this bed together. Little things that he gives us every day that we don't always acknowledge because we're so caught up in our fear and anxiety of what could be instead of what he's already done.
Amen. I mean, hey, and now you get to be part of the challenge for this gratitude challenge, right? Because you're saying, hey, Miss Generosity over here is passing out 20s and 50s like candy. And now you get to be grateful that she's actually got that to give.
Right.
Because you did plan.
Right. That's gratitude.
And I think gratitude in a construction kind of term is like the footing that the Generous Life Foundation lives on.
So what do you do as a parent with a kid that's refusing or they're stubborn about gratitude? Like they're not, because so often they don't. They're like, I don't have nice things. My buddies at school do, but I don't.
Right, right.
When you as a parent are like, yes, you do, but they just don't be able to see it. How do you sort of help them?
I'm so glad you asked me about this. I mean, I can't help but think of my daughter, Gracie, is remarkable. But I didn't realize this, that, you know, I had two older boys. And so then, you know, Gracie comes along and I didn't realize like teenage girls have drama. I just didn't know this. And so she's yakking away with me one day and she's not in a good mood. And I'm taking her to school before she got her license. And finally, I'm like, oh, my word, Gracie, this is amazing. And she's like, what? And I said, before I drop you off, you get to tell me three things you're grateful for. And you could just imagine the puffing and huffing. But by the time she eked three of them out, we got to the curb and it just changes you. Mm-hmm. Oh, chummy, you're crazy, have a good day, and it closes the door. Gratitude, you got to just start with it. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's not three things, You can also look at this. What happens when we're not grateful? Mm. I think that's what's so interesting, that I've never heard somebody say more grateful. We say ungrateful. Mm. Have you ever had anybody go, gotta quit today, just too grateful?
Yeah.
Can't do it anymore. Yeah. It's over the top. I try to find ways to be grateful. I also look at things in my life where they've been taken away. Mm. So I'm not trying to be like, pastor, dad, punitive here. But if you've got kids that aren't grateful, take something away. Have you ever taken for granted the ability to text? We all do it a lot.
Yeah.
I've never said I'm grateful to text until 3 weeks ago when like my thumb and carpal tunnel or something all jammed up. I couldn't even do it. Then I was trying to do the workaround with this. Then this one started to hurt. I'm getting it all worked out now. Okay. But I would look over at my wife, type with the greatest of ease and text. And I'm like, do you know what you're doing right now? She's like, what? I'm like, that looks so amazing. You're texting. I can't hit three before it like cramps. Mm. Now it's better and I can text. I'm a grateful texter. I don't know if that's the best analogy, but it's just where I'm living right now. So if you take something away, then it comes back in. That's probably a reminder. But then I'm like, man, Lord, what can I be thankful for today that you don't need to take it away? Mm. I just want to be aware of it. I want to slow down. I'm grateful for this, grateful for that,
yeah.
And I want what I have. That's one of the things that we think teaching kids, envy, oh, so bad, right? Comparison. Mm. You're the pastor. Isn't that a good one, though?
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Tell us as a family, if we have not been doing this, if this hasn't been part of our family or even our lifestyle, how should we start?
Be encouraged. Don't make this a performance thing. Pray about it. Say, Lord, would you have us as a family move towards living a more generous life, which includes money, but it's so much more than that. Don't be offended or make it like, oh, we got to do all these things and then we're done. I want to encourage families to say, this is the life that's truly life.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have resources at ilikegiving.com. We have the generouskidsbookclub.com. And the Lord brought us this video guy who could take the books and bring them into a video animation.
You know, as parents, we're not very careful often of what we are allowing or even putting in front of our little kids or teenagers or middle schoolers. And, you know, one of the things that blew me away throughout your book is there's all this science, all these studies. And I'm thinking as a parent, we're like, my teenager's anxious. They're nervous. They have anxiety like I've never seen. I don't know what to do to help them. And you look all through your book and you're like, all the science says, get them outward focused. Get them, I love giving, with words, with actions, with money, you name it, with belongings, whatever it is, get their eyes off of themselves. It's literally going to transform their family, right?
I believe it.
And you've collected stories over the years. So people are sending in stories to you. Share one of your favorite ones. You've shared a few, but I'm sure you've got several.
You know, one of the stories that comes to mind for me, because I care so much about the parent-child, grandparent-child interaction. Effectively, what happened was this lady was going to this coffee shop and she saw this guy, his moped's out on the street, and she saw him inside and he was really holding the book really close and he was still really, she could tell he was struggling. So she just went over to him and said, hey, are you having trouble reading? He's like, yeah, my glasses got broken. So then she had this idea. I could take him to Lens Crafters and help him get glasses. So the gift of time, the gift of money. Well, she brings her couple little young boys along.
Mm-hmm.
So here's this complete stranger and they're there getting him glasses. Now what's happening is the doctor is going, what do you don't know? Well, I just see him at the coffee shop. He, you know, then the kids are looking up, right? No pun intended, at watching this whole story. And I just think that's a picture. Now, somebody could say, oh, but glasses cost hundreds of dollars. Don't lose the point.
Mm.
The point is that your kids are looking for the ways that you talk to other people, the way that you give your attention to other people. the way you think about other people, right? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. We had this one little girl send us a note, and her mom actually was honest enough to share it with us. And she just basically said, well, whatever you're planning to do with this Generous Kids Book Club's working, because my daughter told me that I was not acting like Polly the Parrot and being generous with words. In fact, she overheard me on the phone, and mom, you know, you're not being generous with your words. And by the way, that is our strategy. So we want this into the home, right? We wanted to create a creative way.
Wow, that's awesome.
And yeah.
And it's everywhere around us, opportunities for us to be generous. It's opening our eyes. I was in the hospital last weekend with my daughter-in-law and their three-week-old baby, our granddaughter. She had a really high fever, and so we're in there. Our son is home with the other two kids, and there is someone next to us in this critical care unit, and this baby never stopped crying. And I kept saying to my daughter-in-law, like, I've got to get over there. I've got to pray for them. I've got this, like, this poor family, this poor little boy. And so I was praying, like, Lord, if there's any opportunity that I could minister to them in any way, just open that door, because it'd be super weird if I walked in there and just, hey, guys, you know. I walked out to get a drink, and the mom, I saw the mom come out sobbing, sat in a chair, put her face in her hands and just sobbing uncontrollably. Mm. And so I went over to her. I put my hand on her back and I just started praying, God, we need your help. Mm. This little blessed boy is just crying and there's so much going on and we need you, God, to intervene. And as I'm praying, her shaking and her crying gets a little less, and she's starting to sniffle. And then she just at the end, and I didn't pray real long, but at the end, she's just like, oh, thank you. Thank you. I just needed that so much. And then I walked away. But it's all around us. We don't have to have money in our pockets. God's already given us so much if we just open our eyes and our ears and allow him to use us. Compassion speaks volumes in those moments.
God is the ultimate generous giver. He really is. And when we are givers, we are mirroring the Lord himself. And again, it doesn't have to be with just our money. It can be time, effort, a listening ear, whatever. When we give, we become more Christ-like. I'm Shelby Abbott, and you've been listening to David Ann Wilson with Brad Formsma on Family Life Today. Brad has written a book called I Like Giving, The Transforming Power of a Generous Life. You can get your copy right now by going online to familylifetoday.com or clicking on the link in the show notes. Or feel free to give us a call at 800-358-6329 to request your copy. Again, that number is 800 F as in family, L as in life, and then the word today. Now, let's talk truth. Marriage, it takes work, obviously. Just ask your parents or ask your pastor or any couple you know. Great marriages don't just happen. And at Family Life's Weekend to Remember Marriage Getaway, you and your spouse really get the time to intentionally grow with one another. Right now, all Weekend to Remember gift cards are 50% off through December 2nd. That's Monday. So if you want to pause and reconnect with your spouse, focus on your marriage, this is a great way to do it. Or if you know a couple who could use some time away, this is the perfect gift. Just head over to familylifetoday.com and click on the Black Friday sale, because Monday is the last day our deals will be available. Again, head over to familylifetoday.com and click on the Black Friday sale. Well, today's Friday, and in reality, it's actually my last day as the voice of Family Life Today. God is calling me elsewhere, and I'm really excited to see what he has planned for my future, but it has been an enormous privilege to be able to be a small part of this great, great program that has inspired and helped countless numbers of people in their marriages and parenting. I truly count it an honor to be a part of this show the way that I have. Thank you so much for all your generosity and kindness to me over the last couple of years. And I look forward to seeing what the Lord will do with family life today in the future. And coming up next week, the Wilsons are going to be joined by Katie Davis Majors as she talks about trading our fears and anxieties for God's unshakable peace. That's coming up next week, and we hope you'll join us. On behalf of Dave and Ann Wilson, for the last time, I'm Shelby Abbott. We'll see you back next time for another edition of Family Life Today. Family Life Today is a donor-supported production of Family Life, a crew ministry, helping you pursue the relationships that matter most.